Yes.
Good morning, sir.
God bless you.
We have this WhatsApp page, Bride Assembly WhatsApp page, and many times I get notifications, and out of let me say my conscience, I've not, or guilt, I've not left, because most times I find out that they put questions there, and most times there are no responses, and they argue and argue, and that's the end. But today I actually got one that brother Ebuka Uba posted, and he was talking about Galatians 3 verse 28, that he's been confronted severally by unbelievers talking about neither Jew nor Greek, neither born nor free, neither male nor female, and they use that to back up the fact that you could actually have women preachers, and he wanted comments on that, and nobody was actually commenting on that, and so
I'm not a member of that group now.
I asked him to escalate to the pastor, so now I'm escalating on his behalf.
You are now escalating.
Yeah.
Am I a member of your group? Okay, let's read it. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. Let's go back a little to verse 26, 27. Verse 26, it says, see it now. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. Therefore, there is no osu. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. What is saying there, I know why they make reference to that. They make reference to it in terms of leadership of the church. Women pastors quote this scripture to say, whether you are a man or a woman, God can use you. Whether you are a slave, whoever you are, God can use you to support their disobedience to another scripture. Praise the Lord. Now, listen, church, listen. It's very, very important. There are people that willingly want to disobey the word of God. And the first group are women pastors. And there's nothing they can do over it. It's in the Bible. The Bible and the structure of the Church of Jesus Christ gives no place for a woman to lead in the leadership offices of Ephesians 4:11. Praise the Lord. If the same Apostle Paul that wrote to the Galatians, now that you are in Christ, we are all one, the same spirit, the same thing. Let nobody feel inferior, because I remember he was talking, making reference, because the Jews don't believe that certain people can be part of the saving grace of God. So he said, in grace now, there is no male, no female. In grace now, there is no slave. No free person, no bond person. We are one. But he came again to Timothy, as you are going to set that church in order, I permit not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. Was he contradicting himself? No. It simply means, as far as salvation is concerned, it's the same spirit that saved you that saved me. He went to the house of Cornelius, a Gentile. And God told him, before going there, the unclean animals, he showed him in the vision, Peter, rise, kill and eat. He said, Lila, he has not ever eaten anything that is unclean according to the law. And God told him, don't call anything I have cleansed unclean. What I have cleansed, don't call it unclean. And small time, he received a message, he should go to meet Cornelius. He went to Cornelius and was explaining who Jesus is. While he was yet speaking, the same thing that happened to them at the upper room happened to a Gentile. And he said, these people here have received the same spirit we have received. What stopped us from baptizing them? Because now the same thing we, the Jews, have, they are also having it. No male, no female, no Jew, no Gentile. But when it comes to leadership now, Apostle Paul said, this is the leadership offices, and a woman cannot be part of it. That is my explanation.
One more thing, Daddy. But you know that most times these unbelievers could be very subtle. And when you want to back something up scripturally, they have something else to back up with. So how do you handle things like this?
Especially but why will you go and argue when you are not armed?
I don't even argue, but I know that they bring up scriptures to contradict almost everything. And the fact that it's in the Bible, there's just no way you're going to like...
Pure and simple. And we are not called to go and argue with anybody. Say what the scriptures say and leave them. And let me tell you that the gospel is not for everybody. So don't expect everybody to receive it. Even those going to church. And I'm aware, through this same teaching, without us even meeting them face to face, pastors have rearranged their churches. Pastors have removed their wife from the altar. The other one said the other day, say he has deordained his pastor. Prophet Joseph, praise the Lord. And Sunday, they visited a church in South Africa that just washed us from South Africa and rearranged their church and removed the woman from leadership by hearing us. By hearing us, some who say they bear the title of apostle, they have dropped the title of apostle and have taken upon themselves the title of evangelist. Now they understand what the office of apostle is. They were misplacing themselves. A lot of things are done in error, but when sincere people hear the truth, amen. That is how you know the difference between the wheat and the tares. And that is the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Will Abraham say, you want to know whether somebody has the Holy Ghost? Say, the first thing you do is say, give the person the word test. You see the person doing something contrary to the Bible, quote the Bible to the person. If the person refuses to accept it and yet is claiming he's anointed, that is the evidence that the person may only be anointed, is not saved. Or the spirit in him is not the Holy Ghost. Okay, God bless you. A question from USA. Guinea Camorin. Shalom church, shalom pastor. My question is on covenant with God. Like someone that challenged God with his words and told him, if you do this, I will give you my first salary. And God did it. Now you find out that they pay weekly. Will you give God just the first week? Yes, now is that not the first salary? The first week salary you receive, give it to God as you vowed. Just that first week. And that's all. God bless you. Yes.
Please, my question goes like this. He spoke that there is a seven-stick candle. So there is a name following that stick candle. So I want to know the names.
Where be the name? Where is it?
There is a seven-stick candle.
Which name?
He said that all of them have name, including the middle.
I said so.
Yes, sir. Last week, Sunday, at the church here.
Under which message? Have you listened to my teaching on the book of Revelation?
Yes, sir.
Eh?
Yes, sir.
Go back and read and listen to it again. Revelation chapter 1, verse 16. Revelation chapter 1 verse 16. And he, is Jesus now, had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun. I think we should go back. We should go back. Apart from the seven stars, we also have the seven golden candlesticks that he spoke about. He that walked in the midst of the golden candlesticks. And then he came to verse 20 and he said, the mystery, that is the understanding now, of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So what's your question?
It's answered.
It's clear now. Okay. Sister?
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
Sir, please, my question is based on the Holy Spirit. The Bible said if we desire a thing, it shall come to pass.
And I desire what?
If we desire a thing, it shall come to pass. And I've desired over the years.
Which scripture is that?
So I can't remember now.
But you better remember, because you are quoting it wrongly.
But sir, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 and 2 or so, says if we desire any of the gift, we can have it.
No, and let's read it. It didn't say like that too. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Follow, it says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prosper. He didn't say if you desire it, you will have it. That's why I say you are not quoting it well.
Thank you, sir. Then my question is that over the years, I've desired to communicate with God in tongues, and I've not been able to do so. And I'm not asking, why is it not possible for me to?
Amen. Listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28 and verse 29. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And God has set some in the church, first apostles. Sister, listen very well. I'm bringing a point out here. First apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps governments, diversities of tongues. Then he asked, are all apostles? Sister, answer.
No, sir.
Eh?
No, sir.
Are all prophets?
No, sir.
Are all teachers?
No, sir.
Are all workers of miracles?
No, not.
Next verse. Have all the gifts of healing?
No,
do
sir.
All speak with tongues?
No,
do
sir.
All interpret? No, I think that should answer your question. All cannot speak in tongues. All cannot do it. All cannot. Everybody has his own portion. Verse 31. Verse 31, he said, but this is how he put it. But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. That takes you to chapter 13 and verse 1. Charity. So you should desire that rather than want to speak in tongue and prophesy.
I have it, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you. God bless you. Yes.
Sir, the second question.
Yes.
Sir, I have this phobia about falling under anointing. And I want to ask, can't one be in control of the Spirit when the Holy Ghost comes? You know, when I see people fall under anointing, two things scare me. One, I always shift away because I don't want to fall too. Secondly, I get scared should anyone get injured. So I keep asking, can't one control himself or herself under anointing?
Actually, when it comes to falling down under anointing, falling down anointing comes under three reasons. The first category is talking about the administration of the Holy Ghost, where you are just receiving the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost can, it comes in various ways. One of the ways he does it is that the person receiving the Holy Ghost can fall under anointing. You will fall down, fall down under anointing. And while you fall down, another person may be shouting. Another person's own may be vibrating and shaking. We have taken that extensively in our teaching of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then, the second manifestation is a spirit. That the Holy Ghost comes and a spirit is refusing to leave that person. And then, like you do deliverance, you see manifestations. The Holy Ghost himself can come on an individual and be conducting that deliverance to chase that spirit away from that person. The third one is, I explained the other day, when the Bible says in Revelation chapter 3, behold, I stand at the door and knock. When the Holy Ghost comes, he wants you to open your heart, open your spirit. I want to come in. And then somebody will say, I no agree. I still want to wear my trouser. I no go fit leave that man now. I no ready now. I no ready now. What do I go chop? Me, oh, I no get time for you yet. And Holy Ghost can be saying, that is his own. He's coming to knock at your door. Knock, papa, open, I want to come in. Every service, he go chain you. Every service, he go rough you. Every service, you go stand up. And the evidence is when the person stands up, meet and tomorrow. This is how they fall under anointing. Every time be this. See, I'm there, I'm knocking trousers, painted up, and then they were careful for road, they go. The next service, he come again, the Holy Ghost will say, this my daughter, I have come again, oh, open for me. It is that action that is making some of them fall down. And then until the day you say, oh yeah, oh, come and take over. After that day, you're not going to see that thing again. And some are those who God wants to use and they don't want God to use them. You know, especially those that have the prophetic grace. God wants to use, they say, lie, and then the Holy Ghost will. But by the time they finish service, they won't even know where they were. But after some time, and then, of course, there's the category of those that the Holy Ghost keeps coming upon you like that when you are starting your own ministry newly, so that you get used to his presence. After some time, you get used to it, you are to grow that reaction that you fall. Then, you know, when I begin to feel like this, it means he wants to tell me something. Then you yield yourself, not trying to run away. So when he come like this, hey, don't come. Then they want to stand up, thinking that if they come out, like say they want to go to the toilet, then the thing will leave them. Then before when you reach there, the thing will throw them somewhere there. Who can battle with the Lord? God bless you.
Thank you, sir. So my fourth question is...
That should be the last one.
Yes, sir. Sir, concerning Ruth and Naomi. When Naomi sent Ruth to Boaz, the master, you know, she advised her as a mother on what to do to find favor. Then she told her other things. She thought other things that she needed to do to attract his attention. And Ruth obeyed. And when I was studying the scripture, I was like, is he not kind of, you know, luring the man to her also? I want to be clarified.
Now, the story, first and foremost, the stories in the Bible, those stories are not there as if it is a standard for all of us to follow. But there are things you learn from such stories. If not, we will be marrying many wives like Solomon. Many wives like David. So you have to understand there are things we learn from such stories. Now, first and foremost, the story of Ruth is a story of redemption. Ruth, therefore, is a type of you, the Gentiles. We, the Gentiles, and how we got saved. And take note that what attracted Boaz, there has to be an attraction, something called the attention of Boaz to Ruth. And it was Naomi that told her how to get the attention of the man, and that because it will generate a question. And that was the question that Naomi wanted to go and provoke. What was the question? Who are you? And everybody said, that is the woman that Naomi brought, and they began to say the story. And then he then said, yes, I am a relation of your late husband, but there is a nearer kin. If that person refuses, then I will take over. Why? Because he saw a character. The emphasis there was character. It was character. So there are things we learn from there, and don't begin to go and find out where Prophet Joseph, Francis Eke. Please tell me, any others available, brother? Obina, stand up.
Thank you very much, sir.
That is Obina here, stand up. Like him now. Then when you go and sleep, then one sister will go and lie down by your leg side and carry your blanket and cover her. Then when you wake up, then you see one girl there. I'm sure you will shout Holy Ghost fire and run out of your room. Don't do that now. Say you want to do like Ruth and Naomi. Don't do that. Say I learned it from the Bible. Don't do that too. It's not our culture. Don't go like that. It will call police for you. God bless you. Question on the screen. Enugu State, Sister Uche. Shalom Church, please, Pastor. I want to know if there is anything wrong in collecting food from my Muslim neighbors during their festivals. Praise the Lord. Amen. They are not idol worshippers, and they are not food sacrificed to idols. And even if they are food sacrificed to idols, Apostle Paul said they are nothing there. There is nothing there. Amen. Now, the motive for doing that, Apostle Paul tried to let us know that wherever he finds himself, he will adopt and come down, I'm paraphrasing now, to the level of those people so that he will find a chance to go and win them to Christ. So if your neighbor is celebrating whatever they are celebrating and decides to send, you know, extend whatever it is as a social something and give you food to eat, if I am the one, I will gladly receive it. Then during my own celebration also, I'll send my own also to them, so that we can come close and hopefully drop the message of salvation. Don't do your Christianity in a way that precludes everyone around you. They are devils. You are the only one. You will never win anybody to Christ like that. Amen. Shine the light. And one way of shining the light is love. And don't make anybody feel inferior to you. Use wisdom to win Christ. If not, it's a Muslim not employing you. Some of you said, now Hare Krishna be your boss. Hey, they work for in the office. You know they collect salary from Hindu Indian man. Where be your guy? Now food be your own. God bless you. Nothing wrong with it. Yes.
Shalom, church.
Shalom.
The first one is from a book I read. The title is, Who is this Allah? Is Allah the God of the Bible? And the man pointed some things, read some version of the Bible and Quran to differentiate it. According to him, it is not the same God. So that's why I'm asking the same question.
What is the question you're asking?
My question is he the same God that we are serving as Christians, the God of Muslims?
But if you read the Bible tells me in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. And that precludes all other religion. God bless you. Next question.
Okay, my next question is this. The prophet, the gift of prophet, is it a gift that, or is it something that anybody can get? Because why I'm asking this is, there are some places you go, why there are prophets, we ask for money. I have had a witness, I have heard about it. So they ask for money. And at the end of the day, they still see something vision. They still see some things about you. And they still collect money. And God still allow them to see the vision. So that's why I'm asking, why is it like that? Why do God allow them when they still collect money?
But I have just told you. I said that we have the evil ones, the wicked ones in the world. They are doing their evils, even to God's own children. And God seems to be leaving them. Now, maybe let's come a little bit home. That these are now Christians who have genuine gifts. And then, but you yourself, you, even you, you know they are doing unscriptural things with the gift. First and foremost, the Bible says, for every man shall give account of himself before God. When God gives you that gift, he leaves you. Use it the way you like. But one day you are going to give account of what you did with it. Because concerning the one you are asking, he gave the same commission to his disciples and said, freely you receive that gift. Freely you should minister. So if somebody decides to commercialize it, one day he's going to meet his maker. And then, but he spoke and left a caveat somewhere in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 7. Can we read it? Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, the day that every man shall give account of himself. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then that day will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. So you see, all this is waiting for people who do that. And I'm telling you that that is one great problem we have in Christianity, especially that prophetic gift. Carnal people have, you know, used that gift, have come on carnal people. There are people that have decided, no matter what, that gift is for them to eat with. No matter what you do, any day they are hungry, they know what to use the gift to do. Well, our business here is to preach it and leave everybody. At least I will not be held guilty, because even ministers, gifted brothers and sisters in this ministry, they are guilty of it. In this ministry. But we'll continue to say it and say it and continue to say it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
God bless you.
Thank you, sir. My last question is this. It's concerning a dream I had many times. Just one particular dream that is bothering me most. So most of the time I find myself swimming in the air, not even flying, just about swimming. So I don't know the meaning.
You are swimming?
Yeah.
Mami water.
Not in the water, in the air.
You are swimming in the air?
Yeah.
Then they swim for air, but then they fly.
I don't know, because I have to...
Are you saying flying or swimming?
It's like as if the way you swim in the water, that is how I do my hand in order to rise up. So
that is fly now.
Okay, let's say fly.
If it's in the air, we call it fly.
Fly.
If it's
okay.
In the water, we call it swim.
Okay.
Now.
So I find myself most at like three or four times.
So you want me? What's your question?
I want to understand because I'm a bit afraid, so I don't know the meaning of the dream.
Why you fly?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, listen. When it comes to interpretation of dreams, we cannot put a statement and say, when you dream like this, it means this. No. Because flying has both negative and positive understanding. So if I see you flying like this, this is what it means. There are some other witches that are flying, and they will also take my interpretation and say, that means I'm not a witch. So I won't stand here with microphone and give an interpretation of that. But this is my advice for you. Always, since it is regular, this is how you watch. Is there any spiritual activity I do within that period? Anytime I do this, this is how I see this dream. Maybe when I do a particular fast, a particular type of prayer, that period I'll be seeing this. Maybe when I take a certain study, I do a particular spiritual exercise, this is when I see this. Or anytime my spirit man is low, until I begin to watch certain films and do certain things I shouldn't do, that is when I begin to see myself in a dream like this. That is how you get to know that God is using this dream to talk to me about my spiritual estate. That is how it is. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
On the screen from Ghana, Brother Doe. Shalom, church. Some end time message believers are claiming that Jesus has already come through Brother Braham. That anybody who is still waiting for Jesus is lost. Please, Pastor, what can we tell these people? Tell them they are anti-Christ. Tell them they are anti-Christ. Tell their pastor they are false Christs. False preachers. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Apostle Paul responded to that group of people during his own time. When people were in expectation of some glorious resurrection that was coming up, and based on that resurrection, they were ready to make all sacrifices to serve God. And a group of people came and were telling them that resurrection has come to pass already. And so Apostle Paul had to reply, if resurrection has come and happened already, then what are we risking our lives for if we don't have a hope of resurrection? We are expecting the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are preparing for it. If he has already come, then why are we laboring again? What are we waiting for? And how can you say he has come already? He has come to do what? What has he done? What are we expecting him to come for? If we're expecting him to come for the rapture. If he has come, and this man, he came in 1963, according to what they teach. Amen. How come in 1989, I met with this Jesus and gave my life to Christ? Some of you, even later than that, you have been giving your life to Christ. When he comes, there will be no more salvation. And he comes to take us home. And we are expecting that coming. Forget it. They are just there to mess up our faith, create confusion. Nothing like that. They are the ones worshiping William Branham, deifying him, saying that he is God in the flesh. It's a lie. William Branham is a sinner saved by grace. The only God in the flesh is the Lord Jesus, Emmanuel. Hallelujah. It's Antichrist spirit. Thank you, Brother Doe in Ghana. Just answer them. They are false. And please, listen. This is the way Apostle Paul put it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Hallelujah. Verse 18 and 19. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Verse 19 is my emphasis. For there must be also heresies among you. Why? That they which are approved may be made manifest among you. God himself will allow heresies. Heresy. Heresy. In the church. To know who among you is approved. Even here now, God can raise up some people among us here. Amen. So that to begin to cause divisions or to begin to preach some other things, and there will be people here that will follow them. Do you know there will be people that will follow them? Some people can rise here now and say that, what do you call it? Bring one funny doctrine. And there will be people that will stand up and follow them. Follow it. Do you know that in the end time message, that there are people that preach polygamy, and they are allowing brethren to marry more than one wife, and they are quoting something and misplacing something William Branham said. God allow it for those who understood the ministry of that man to be made manifest. Who are those who understand, and who are those who are just planted by the devil and blind? Nothing more. Nothing more. Do you also know that even in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 13, can we read it? Verse 1, 2, 3. He said, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and give thee a sign or a wonder, and that sign, the sign or the wonder, come to pass exactly as the man said it. But after that, he spake unto thee, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. What did he say? Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or the dreamer of that dream. No matter how much anything he said come to pass, he prophesied exactly, then he takes you away from the Bible, away from the scripture. He teaches wrongly. Now, then, this is the reason why that gift is in their midst. The next line. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Whether you are all going, say you are Christian, he will rise up to show who you are. Whether that just prophecy you they follow, or you even have a bearing at all in your Christian life. And there are people that will do anything. They will stay with any man as long as he has a gift, especially the prophetic gift, to be seeing vision for them always. They don't care whether that person says anything for salvation, knows anything for the salvation of your soul or not. Provided he's prophesying anything, that man tells you, bring any amount of money, you will do anything as long as that man that says it. And anything at all. We are seeing them now. Go to these television channels, you see all of them. They have invaded the airwaves with their sorcery. And people are following the crowd. But I'm telling you, there is an identification of God's elect. There's something about us. That thing can never, 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 never take us away from the Bible. from the truth. God bless you. Yes.
Shalom, George.
God bless you.
There's a question I want to ask. You told us that we can use our eyes. We can close our eyes and we can open our eyes. But when you want to see vision, you close your eyes.
Who says so?
No, I did not say you say it. But some people, when they want to see vision, they
talk
can...
Talk to microphone.
They can close their eyes to see vision, but they cannot open their eyes to see vision.
It's different manifestation, but the same spirit. Some people, while they are... it is not them that want to see vision, then they close their eyes. It is only when they close eyes that a vision may come. Their vision comes only when their eyes are closed. They don't say, let me close my eye to see vision. So also, the vision can also come while you are even looking at me now. As you are talking to me now, if you have that gift, the thing will appear. You will see it. So it's not that you must close your eye. It depends on how God works with the individual.
So my second question is, in my dream, when I do sleep, I'll be in a dream. I'll see some bad things disturbing me. But for me to open my eyes, I can't do it. I'll force myself. But when I want to open my eyes, it's very difficult for me. Like maybe something pursuing me. I'm running. But for me to open my eyes, it's very difficult. I said that thing harmed me. Oh, I finished the battle. That
you mean
that
you will know that you are sleeping?
No,
you will know that you are in a dream and you want to wake up.
No, I'm sleeping. But some things will be harming me, but I can't open my eyes.
Not dream. I don't know whether you are referring to this attack that these small demons in the environment used to come. When they pass the people windows, you say they sleep. Then they will come there, strangulate you like this. Then you go back to, you want to say blood of Jesus, say you no fit. Then eventually, Jesus. Now he they talk.
Yes, sir.
Now he. Everybody, yes, they feel like everybody. It can happen to anybody. And now those small demons, they are mischievous spirits. They don't harm you. They just come to just disturb your sleep. See this man, we know the grip person rest in a sleep. Then they go to their meeting, then you go peep, you see you. You go just come sit down like this. Then you go, oh, blood of Jesus. Hey, blood of Jesus. Then you start vigil. Holy Ghost fire. Anybody that comes, Holy Ghost fire. Plus the fire of fear and the fire of anger, all everything. You don't feel sleep again. Now that's what the spirit wanted to achieve. Wake you up, then you go for a meeting.
Thank you, sir.
But let me quickly tell you that it comes on a weak Christian, and God also allows it to make you stand up and pray. When you are on fire, that spirit, if he see you, he go run. He will come see you like this. He will see your angel. The angel of the Lord, they campeth round about them that fear God. Hallelujah. And when he comes like this, he will see your angel on guard. He will greet her. Now. He will go his way. Because if he touch you, he touch fire. Amen. But the angel left because you are sleeping there. Your girlfriend, they here, you they here. So he come, he says, see them. The demon will pass, see them. Smart and they will say, then they go to church. See what thing they did. Make her disturb them small. Because your angel can never be in a room where you are fornicating. And your angel can never stand by your side when you are from beer parlor. You finish one bottle of beer, it's by your side there, then you sleep off. Your angel will never be there when you are there watching some stupid film before you doze off. The angel can never be around. That demon, once he sees that glory disappear, the Bible says, break the edge. What will happen? So when you begin to see that happening, check your spiritual life. You are not on fire. God bless you. And the last question on the screen. Shalom, Pastor. Question number one, from Benin. Justice. A brother or sister who is earnestly interested in serving God, but often find his or her self lusting after the opposite sex and eventually end up in committing sin and always full of regrets after every act. What help does he or she need? Counseling or deliverance? Does God still arrest and use people as he did to Saul in the book of Acts? Concerning your second question, yes, he's still doing it even now. And I have a perfect example of a young woman in Canada. Very interesting woman that I hope to meet sometime shortly this year. I have promised I'll be in Canada and I will interview her. That Christians need to hear how God still visits his people now. Very interesting testimony. God still does it now. Now, the first question that you have a weakness, and the weakness is a weakness of maybe lust, fornication. He said, does the person need counseling or deliverance? You need both counseling and deliverance plus Holy Ghost. It is evidence that you need the power to resist sin is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you try with your own effort, you will fail. And secondly, you regret. When you finish, you regret. But let me quickly tell you something. Amen. When you say you are not able to resist, I have said it, and I say it because I believe it to be the truth, that the sin of fornication is not like the sin that you commit, maybe a spontaneous sins like anger. When you are angry, the things you do when you are angry, they are the things when you finish, then you regret it. You regret it because you could not control it. But brother, when it comes to fornication, sister, when it comes to fornication, you can control it. You don't fornicate spontaneously. The truth about it is that you still fornicate, and after you say you regret it, you fornicate, you regret it. It is because you have not yet caught the revelation of the evil of fornication. The day you know the damage you are doing to your life through sexual sin, that day you won't go for deliverance. Fornication is a decision of the heart, not deliverance, nothing. Nothing like that. For a Christian, I'm talking for a Christian. That's the truth. Of course, the spirit will always come. Just like the spirit that moves people to steal. You know, it's a spirit. But I'm telling you that the day a thief goes to steal and they catch him, they nearly kill him, put tire. I'm talking of even unbeliever. And eventually he escaped with some bruises. The next time he sees something, he wants thief. When he remember what he go through, he will change his mind. No matter how the urge that spirit comes, because he has now known the evil in stealing. You say, when the thing comes upon you, you cannot control yourself. I say, you are not sincere. You can control yourself. Praise the Lord. If not, why do you choose? Why doesn't you see? Why is it that you don't just see? When the urge comes, then anything where tire apart they go, you will go catch them. Anything where we are scared to the past, you will say, this thing don't catch me. You catch them. Why not they catch your mama? Should not be woman. You are not sincere. Amen. Hallelujah. And let me tell you. Oh, the day they catch you over when you charge, you catch them. Then the girl tell you, say, leave me. I have HIV. Let me see whether you will continue. You say, hey, why you not tell me since? You run. Because you know the danger of HIV. So you are not sincere. Among all the problems that people have, don't include fornication and adultery. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that and say it is a weakness. Never a weakness. You have not yet decided to leave it. The day you decide, you will leave it. And you will never decide until you discover the evil there. If not, you will continue to enjoy. You think you are enjoying yourself. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Listen, listen. Listen, I want to say something. If you are not guilty of the sin of fornication, stand up. If you are free now, you are not a fornicator, stand up. The rest of you, get out. Anybody sitting down now is a fornicator. Lay your hand and begin to pray for them. Lord, have mercy on them. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on this fornicator. Have mercy on this adulterer. See, many of them are sitting there that side. See, fornicator sitting down. That's at the end there. Help them at the end there. This is my earnest cry. This is my earnest desire. Give me the power to do your will. Oh Lord, I pray. Oh, this is my earnest cry. And this is my earnest desire. Give me the power to do your will. Oh Lord, I pray. Anointing.
Oh, in my life. For the sake of
all
of my hands and soul.
Oh, God,
give me the power to do your will. Oh, Lord, I pray.
Sing anointing.
Oh, in my life.
Oh, yes.
Cover my hands and soul.
Oh,
give me the power to do your will. Oh, Lord, I pray.
Let me read one last scripture here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, why you remain standing? And I read it from verse 15 up to verse 20. It says, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. Who is this harlot? Any woman that you have not married and she opens her leg for you to sleep with her, she's a prostitute. She's a harlot. What? Verse 16. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, said he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Then he said, flee. He didn't say run. What did he say? Flee like Joseph. Flee through the window. Flee fornication. And he said, every sin that a man doeth is outside his body, is without the body. But he that committed fornication sinned against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. What is the price? The price of the cross. The death on the cross. The blood that was shed on the cross on Calvary. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. This is my earnest cry. Oh,
this is my earnest desire. Give me the power to do your will.
Oh, God.
Oh, Lord, I pray.
Say, this is my earnest.
Oh, this is my earnest cry.
And
This is my earnest desire. Give me the powers to do your will.
Oh Lord,
I pray.
Sing anointing.
Oh, in my life.
Oh, yes.
Cover my head to
give me the
power. Give me the power to do your will. Oh, Lord, I pray.
Sing anointing.
Oh, the powers to do your will. Oh Lord, I pray.
And may the Lord answer that prayer in the name of Jesus. The power to do God's will is the Holy Ghost. Living in a man, living in a woman, that causes you to live a life that is pleasing before God. That is the meaning of grace. Give me grace to follow. Abundant grace
to follow.
Give me grace
to follow.
Your grace
is enough.
Oh Lord, give me grace
to follow.
Abundant grace,
Lord, in your grace, oh God.
Give me grace
to follow.
Talk to God concerning your prayer life. The answer for your prayers here tonight depends on your relationship with God. And it's a merciful God. Maybe I've said something that's drawing you closer to Him now, telling you want to remain close to Him. You need the grace that this man, Moses, is talking about, that Apostle Paul was talking about, that you, the Lord, you are talking about, as we see in the scripture. We need the grace to live a life pleasing before you. Somebody, open your mouth and talk to God for about 3 minutes before we go into the day's business. The day's prayers. Talk to God concerning your life. Give me grace to follow. Give me grace to follow. Create in me a clean heart. Oh Lord, I renew thy spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart. Oh Lord, I renew a right spirit within me.
Cast me not away.
Cast me not away from your presence, oh Lord. Take not the Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy.
Jesus,
God,
there is a race.
Oh,
God,
there is a race. I must run.
There's a victory to be won.
There is a victory to be won.
Give me pause, oh God.
Give me pause.
May the Lord answer that prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. May the Lord answer that prayer in the name of Jesus.